Blog Talk Radio.
Best thing that ever happened
Denise. We would like to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. We want you to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We have an exciting message for you on today. We're going to be coming from the New Testament. As we say at times, we're not coming from that best bookseller that you may have read on last week or week before last. It may be not your favorite, and it's not your favorite magazine, but we are going to be coming from the Bible, from the Holy Scripture. We're going to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God that is able to save our souls. So come on, call that neighbor, call that friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're getting ready to pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day and this hour. We thank you, God, for all of our radio listeners that are listening continually to this broadcast. And God, all of the new, Father God, listeners that may be listening, maybe their first time tuning in, God, I pray, God, that this message will be a blessing, Father, to them as well. Father, we know, God, that there is nothing too hard, nothing that's too difficult, nothing that's impossible with you. So, Lord, today we stand in agreement with thy word. God, your words say heaven and earth, they pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of the word will fail. So, Lord, here we are again. We come before you to preach the word of God to your people. God, that they can receive faith, God, that they can receive revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, we are about to take a walk through the word of God on this Hour of Power broadcast day. We want today to come from the book of Mark, the 13th chapter. Can you find that in your Bible? And so happen, if you do not have a Bible, that's okay. Just listen to the Word of God as we read the Word of God and as God gives us revelation of His Word. Our topic today will be the signs of Jesus' return. He is coming back again. Our scripture text is Mark, the 13th chapter, 1st through the 37th, 3rd, for your reading. And the key verse is taken from Mark, the 8th verse. We want you to think about some things as we go through the Word of God. This Word of God is given to build you up, to strengthen you, to build your faith, to make you be aware of what is about to happen, what has happened, and how God wants to move in your life. So we're going to get at that first verse of the 13th chapter of Mark. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples says to him, "Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And Jesus answered, said unto him, "See you these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." See, when we began to look at just the first two verses, we see as Jesus came out of the temple with his disciples, his disciples were speaking to him, and they said, "Call him Master," which he is. They wanted him to see of the manner of stones of the building. I'm quite sure that they were magnifying. They were really being and showing God, and they was amazed at the structure and how beautiful the building were. But Jesus is letting them know. Jesus saying to them, you see these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter answered, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? They wanted to know. You know, after all, they're looking at this building. They was amazed at the structure, how beautiful the building was. But Jesus letting them know that there was going to come a day when it was not going to be left one stone upon another. It's all going to be thrown down. And as they were sitting, and as they was on the opposite side of the temple, the word of God let us know that Peter and James and John, telling them who was there, and Andrew, they asked him privately. They wanted to know. They wanted to say, Master, in other words, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And look at what Jesus says to his disciples. And look at what Jesus is saying to us on today in 2014. And Jesus answered them and began to say, take heed lest any man be deceived. In other words, take heed, pay attention, because I don't want you to be deceived. And I don't want any man to be deceived. For the word of God says, for many shall come in my name. We know that there is not but one name that is means that really means anything, that has power, that has authority, that is very significant. And that is the name of Jesus. But the word of God let us know, as we read the word of God, Jesus is letting them know that many are going to come in his name. And they're going to say that I am Christ. And they shall deceive many. And he's saying to them, he said, and when you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be you not troubled, but such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. Although there are many will come in Christ, pretending that they are Christ. They don't say that they are Christ. And the word of God says that many is going to be deceived. That means that they're going to come and they're going to say that they are Christ, and they are going to deceive many people. Many people are going to deceive. They're going to have the people will have the spirit of deception. They are going to be deceived because they don't know the truth. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So if you know truth, if you know your name, may be Cynthia, and someone tried to change your name, you're not going to change it because you know that your name is Cynthia. So therefore, we need to be able to not to be deceived, and we need to walk according to the word of God. Well, how can we walk according to the word of God if we do not know the word of God? But the word of God says, to study to show thyself approved unto God. a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So therefore, in order to rightly divide the word of truth, you got to know truth. You got to know truth from that which is false. So because people don't know truth, and they're not willing to study the word, and they're not reading the word, and they're not going to church in a place being taught so that they can know truth and that they can learn truth and they can be instructed in truth, well, many will be deceived because many don't take the time in order to go and to see who Jesus is and what Jesus has for them. Jesus has great and mighty things for them. But many, as the word of God says, many shall be deceived, and many will be deceived. The word says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear wars and rumors of war, be you not troubled, but such things must need be, but the end is not yet. So we know that even if we hear a war and rumors of war, we know some of these are the signs of the end. But he let them know, but the end is not going to come yet. You're going to hear these things. You're going to hear rumors of war. But God is letting you know, and God is letting the people know, not to be troubled. For the end is not yet. But he is saying to us, he was saying to Peter and James and John and Andrew, he said, nations shall rise against nations. He said, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famine and trouble. These are the beginning of sorrow. So in today, 2014, we see that nations have already risen against nations. And we see that there have been earthquakes. And earthquakes have been in different places, in diverse places. And there have been famines. And we know that there have been great famines in many places. We have had famines in areas overseas and areas that some ministries and great ministries that are supporting and want many to send in money because the children, they are starving. They need food. They are dying because of lack of food, because of lack of plenty. And so we see that those things are happening. We see that even here in the United States of America, there are people that are without. Yes, they are much better off than those that are in other nations, but yes, they need help as well. And we see that they are in places that they have a lack. There's a great need. They don't have the things of this life that will sustain them. You know, they don't have sometimes the food. Sometimes parents, they don't know where they're going to get that next meal from in order to feed their children. There are men and women, they don't know where that next job is going to come. And sometimes, even in this day and time, when the temperature is at a level of freezing and some of areas of people are without heat and the temperature is blown below certain freezing point, some people don't have central heat. They don't even have the logs in order to catch the logs upon the fire and keep warm. So there are great needs even in 2014 where people, it's just like they're in a famine. They with a great need. And sometimes you may say, well, that's not really a great need. Oh, if you don't have food, if you don't have water, if you don't have things to sustain you, if you're out there lying on the streets and you don't have a place to lay your hat and you don't have a place to have a place of comfort to where that you can have some heat and have some food, that is a crisis. But I'm just saying, today as Jesus speaks to us through the Mark 13th chapter, we see that the word of God said that, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. He said, be not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end is not yet. Nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be famine and trouble. These are the beginning of sorrow. Oh, my God. But the word of God says, but take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to the council and in the synagogue, and you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, the morning, against them. The gospel must first be published among all nations. So because of preaching of the gospel, because we preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God, because we say that there is a God, because we say that Jesus is the only Savior and Lord and Jesus Christ, because we say that Jesus is coming back again, because we speak truth, there are going to be many that's going to rise up against the preachers of the gospel, the believers, people that are living and taking a stand for Christ. There are going to be many that will rise up against you. And as we see today, as even as the year 2014, even before this year, wherein there has been groups that have risen up, and they don't want you to pray in Jesus' name in certain places. They don't want you to mention that name because they know the witches and the warlords, they know that there is power in the name of Jesus. The infidel, they know that there is power in the name of Jesus. The devil worshipers know that there is power in the name of Jesus. I remember in the word of God how the disciples, they were beaten because of the fact that they were teaching in the name of Jesus, that they were speaking with authority, they were speaking with power, and they were put into prison. And there are the days there are people that are being locked up or being persecuted because they have proclaimed and that there is a Jesus, and they use the name of Jesus, and they live in according to the word of God. They're coming against certain things that the word of God come against. Oh, there are some things that we have to stand, and we have to take a stand this day and this hour. We can't just fall for anything. When we know truth, we have to speak the truth. When we know things that are not right, we have to speak according to the word of God. They are not right. I can go into some things this morning. We don't want to veer too much off of the topic this morning, the signs of Jesus' return. He is coming back again. And yes, he is coming back again. And we need to know the signs, and even though the time, I realize that the word of God tells us that we don't know the day or the hour that is coming, and that is so true. Angels in heaven don't know. But here in the 13th chapter of Mark, when we read the 21st chapter of St. Luke, When we read the 25th chapter of Matthew, we see that Jesus is soon to come, because the sign that God has given us, it is soon. He is soon to come. And one of the things I would like to share with you today, when Christ, when a man and a woman, when a boy and a girl, when they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they have not confessed their sin, if they don't know Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when they close their eyes, when there is no more time for you to repent. You know, sometimes people say, I'm going to do it next year. I'm going to do it when I get a little older. I'm going to do it when I get to having a good time. Well, Lot and his family and those that was in Sodom and those that was in Gomorrah, oh, they didn't believe, they did not believe when Lot was trying to get them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because they was having that good time. And that's the same time, that the good time that they thought that they were having. And the devil tried to make things seem so exciting and make it seem so glamorous. At the same time, he's killing you. He's taking away life from you. He is stealing your life. The word of God says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm still talking about Jesus' return. I'm still talking about Jesus is coming back again. So the word of God tells us in that 10th verse, and the gospel first be published among all nations. All nations. There have been so many ways. When we look at TVN, when we look at Jan, when we look at their broadcast, the man of God that just recently passed away and gone on to be with the Lord, we see that they have, God has used them to make it possible, Paul and Jan, that God has used them to make it possible that the gospel, the word of God, can be preached in so many nations. God has made it possible for people like George Marist to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has made it so possible, T.D. Jakes, and Paula White and so many of them, preachers of the gospel, those that are in every city, in every state, that they are able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it said it should be first be published among all nations, it has gone out into all of the countries. I mean, it's not too many countries that have not heard the gospel. But the thing is, how many of them are receiving what the gospel that has been given unto them? And my question is today, all of you that live here in the United States of America, all of you that has churches almost on every corner, how many of you are taking advantage of being in church? You know, how many of you are being able to sit down sometime and listen to a broadcast of the man or woman of God that is preaching the adulterated, uncompromising word of God? How many people are listening to the Our Power broadcast and many other broadcasters that they can hear, that they can know that Jesus is soon to come? Jesus don't want his people to be left unaware. He doesn't want people to not know that he is coming. He's giving us an opportunity. He's giving us a chance to get it together. Somebody needed to get it together. Somebody needed to live right and get it right before God. You see, because we don't know the day or the hour when it's coming for us. Because if he comes for us, you, and you're not ready, then that is the day wherein Jesus came back, and you are not ready. You're not ready, and there won't be any getting any more ready, because he has given us an opportunity and given us a chance. But the word of God says, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess before him. So every knee, when Jesus come back, I mean, the liar, the whoremonger, if you're still lying, if you were still whoremongering before you passed from this life, if you were still fornicating, you were adulterous or murder or whatever you may be, it had been at that time. If you haven't asked God to forgive you for your sins, if you haven't began to walk a straight and narrow way, it may even have been the same day that you received Jesus Christ. But if you did all those things and you asked God to come into your life and something happened to you that day, well, you're going to forever spend that time with Jesus Christ. Because remember the thief on the cross. He was getting ready to pass from this life as we know it until he's getting ready to die. And it was going to either be hell or it's going to be, he was going to heaven. But he had sense enough. Come on, somebody need to have some sense. Somebody need to wake up. Come on. Somebody need to get it together. Because the thief asked Jesus, you know, he said, let Jesus know. Remember him. And we need to ask God, Lord, remember me. He knew what he had done, and he knew what life that he lived, but yet he wanted Jesus to remember him when he come unto paradise, when he come into the kingdom. Lord, remember me. And Jesus let him know, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thou shalt be with me in heaven. Come on. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying to you today. Somebody needs to wake up. Because Jesus is soon to come. If you had a visitor that was supposed to be coming to your home, you would get it together. If that visitor was going to come, you would be making sure that most your rooms and your house and all these things that they were going to be lodging in, are they going to come in to see you? You'll be getting that thing together. Look how it is when Christmas time comes. Everybody's doing cleaning and everybody's washing, many people washing their windows, and they are calling for different companies to come out and clean their carpet. They are getting food and they're doing this and that. They're preparing for Christmas. They're preparing for the guests because they want, when they come, they want to be prepared. But how many people are preparing to go back with Jesus? You know, sometimes people don't want to talk about going back because it's kind of weird to them that, oh, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to know about it. But you need to know, because being ignorant is not a good thing. You need to know the plan of God. You need to know and prepare yourself, even if we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming. The word let us know that he is coming. We know that he is coming. He is not a thief. He's not a robber. But the word of God let us know he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So therefore, we need to prepare ourselves. Can you not be prepared? Can you not get prepared? Can you not, if you knew there was a storm coming, would you not tell somebody that a storm is coming? If you knew a hurricane is coming, and we bind that in the name of Jesus, but if you knew that that was something that was about to happen, would you not warn your family? Would you not warn your neighbors? Would you not warn those that you are in constantly communication with? And even when you're in a grocery store, did you know that a storm is coming? Did you hear about it? Well, why is it that we won't warn people, and especially Christians? Why is it that we won't warn the world? Why don't we warn our neighbors and our soul buddies that we call them and our friends? Why don't we warn them and let them know that Jesus is soon to come? Why don't we do that? Because like Lot and like his family and those that was there, I mean, they didn't have long to get it together. And because God was getting ready to destroy that place. I mean, but that was not the end of the world per se, but we're letting you know that they were destroyed. Lot and his two daughters, they were the only one that was able to escape. Wife came out, but she decided that she didn't have enough of the worldly things, and she wanted to look again at some of the stuff she had left back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. What is it in your life that you love so much that you can't give up sin? What is it in your life that you love so much that you're not going to get saved? Is it that woman that you are not married to, and you are having some kind of sexual type intercourse experience with? Or is it that man that you're so in love with? Is it those people that you are involved with? You know, whether or not you a crack dealer or whether or not you are crack person that uses crack, or those that are drunkards or alcoholics or whatever it may be. What is it that, what price would you pay for your soul? What price would you pay for not being ready? Come on. If you knew that you were going out of town, you would fill up your, and you'll make sure that at least my tank is filled and that I'm going to have enough or nearly enough to until I get to the next gas station or to get to my destination. Why is it that we don't get a fill up? Why is it that we don't get the anointing flowing inside of us? Why don't we get the Spirit of the Lord being magnified within us so that we can be ready? I'm telling you, it's time. You wouldn't go out in Alaska, or you wouldn't go out in a city or a state that is below zero without having some kind of coat or shoes or of clothing, a garment. You wouldn't go out. So it is with the Word of God. We should not take chances and do things like Russian roulette. You know, I'm taking a chance. If the fire didn't go out, the gun didn't fire, so therefore I was safe. I mean, we don't know the day or the hour. I mean, somebody need to hear me today. Somebody need to take heed to the Word of God today. The Word of God tells us, but when they shall, let's read that 11th verse, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thoughts beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to be, we don't have to be afraid or full of fear or dismay because of the bite, that when these things happen, because the Holy Spirit, we are brought before men for the name of Jesus, God's going to give us what to say. I mean, I'm talking to the believers.
Now, listen at this. It says in that 12th verse, it says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death. Did you not hear what I said? We're living in those days. We're living in those times. They said, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Are they going to rise up against them and the parents going to, cause their parents to be put to death? Or you take it as the word of God says, it says, they shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, for my name's sake. Come on. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. God is saying to us that we as believers, come on, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, those that have said yes to his will and yes to his way. We are going to go through things in this life. Yes, we're going to suffer. Because the word of God says, even as he has suffered in his flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. Well, the word of God telling us to endure. In that 13th verse of the 13th chapter of Mark, it tells us that we must endure. It tells us that we shall endure until the end. Come on, no matter what you're going through this day, no matter what you're going through, sometimes the enemy will bring all the things to you that you may have gone through. You know, you don't have a job. You don't have any money. You don't have a house to live in. Oh, you don't have a car. You don't have money in the bank. You may be mistreated by your friends and by some family members, but the word of God tells us to endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, we got to continue in the same state. We got to endure what the word of God says. We got to remain firm under suffering, under pressure, under misfortune when things happen. You know, it's not going to always be that way. Your life haven't always been that way, but there has been some sunshiny days in your life. You know, you may go through some struggles in life, but it all have not been darkness. It have not always been like a doom and gloom type thing. But you must learn how to endure. And the only way that we can endure is to trust the Lord. And the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all and he will direct our path. So therefore, we have to endure. Endure hardness. Go forth. Go on. Believe God. Stand on his word. Be faithful to him. But in that 14th verse, it says, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth, let him that be in Judea flee to the mountain. Oh, I'm going to have to stop right there. But maybe we'll pick that up as the Lord lead us to continue. But all I want you to know today, time to us to take heed. It's time for us to get it together. It's time for us to stop sleeping. It's time for us to don't sleep so much that we're not doing the will of the Father and we're not in line with the word of God. See, even if you in the natural are asleep, when Jesus Christ comes, oh, it's going to be all right. But if you're and sleeping and doing everything but preparing yourself, then there is going to be a day that Jesus Christ, he will come. And you need to be ready. You ought to tell somebody. You ought to call somebody. You ought to invite somebody to go to church. You ought to call somebody and ask them, you know, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Or do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what he is and what he can be to you? He is our Savior. He's the only Savior. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Word of God says that we shall be saved. And I want you to know today, if you are not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, it's all right for mom to know him. Our mother knew Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Oh, she knew him, but I had to know him. My sisters had to know him. Oh, I thank God that because of my mother knowing him, my sisters of Cynthia, Petty Jean, knew him and knows him. And my brother, Mike Arthur, knows him. And many more know him. And if they don't really, some that have not come unto the fullness of him and have not given totally surrender to Christ, my desire is that every cousin, niece, every person, a family member, that they know him. My desire is that every neighbor, come on, those that are in my neighborhood, those that are in my city, those in the state of Florida, those that are outside of the United States of America, that they will know him, that they can be able to welcome his return. Oh, my God. Oh, it's time to pray. And we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Please know that Jesus is in love with you. You don't have to be afraid of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the one that paid the price 2,000 years ago for my healing, for my deliverance, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your salvation. We would not have known salvation. We could not have received salvation except through Christ Jesus, by the grace of God. So right now, we're getting ready to go before the throne. And why don't you just repeat with me? Say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. Make me whole. I want to live this life so that I can live again. Lord, as the thief that was on the cross, even as he that you welcomed him that day unto paradise to be with you, that he was with you. And, Father, we thank you for that. And, God, you have no respect of person. Lord, save me. God, deliver me and make me whole. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with us this morning and you meant what you said, I want you to know, no matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you did 2 years ago, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, he has cast every sin, your sins and my sins, unto the sea of forgetfulness, and he will remember it no more. I want you to know this morning that you are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All old things pass away. All things become new. All you need to do is to get to in your Bible, to read the Word of God. Because when you read in the Word, God is speaking to you. As you read the Word of God, God is speaking to you. And my advice is for you to begin reading in the New Testament and begin to read the book of John and the book of Romans. But read the entire 27 chapters of the New Testament. And then after you have digested that and keep reading, because that's something that you read consistently, you should never stop reading the Word. Then you can go into the Old Testament. But But you need to know Christ, and you need to know who he is and what he did and the miracles that he performed and everything that he did for you. So please, I admonish you to read the Word of God. I would like to thank our radio audience today for taking the time to hear what the Word of God has spoken to them on today. And we would like to invite you to listen every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. and on Friday at the same time to the Hour of Power broadcast. We would also like to take the opportunity to invite you to Crusaders for Christ World Mission and Evangelism Center, which is located at 6416 Merriam Street here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where I am the pastor, and I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we would love for you to come. It is every Thursday. It is called the Hour of Power Thursday Night Live. And come on, get a friend, get a neighbor, and come and fill the place and enjoy the Lord and enjoy his word. We are celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ. We're giving him the praise and the glory at the Thursday Night Live. May God bless and keep you. Is our prayer.